We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, CBTPFL. It's Wednesday, it's August 18th, it's 2021, and we have 10 baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. Joined today by my good buddy, Genie407. Grant, how's it going, my friend?
It's going all right. I mean, I'm in the process of moving right now, so I'm living my biggest nightmare, but I'll be done in a few days.
Moving is always the worst. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, people who move just to go to a cheaper place, like, I don't understand it, but that's because I throw away, like, or give away $1,500 worth of stuff every time I move. It just, like, sunk cost. Like, I don't feel like dealing with this, and I'm just, anyone who wants this, take it.
All right, 10 games. I mean, my slate coming back from vacation was something. We'll just say that. Very heavy on the Reds, very heavy on the Dodgers, and wasn't the greatest thing, but I mean, that's why we move on. That's why we play DFS. So let's jump into this slate. We get started with the Red Sox and the Yankees. This game has a 10 total. 10 and a half in some places, and it's really close to a pick'em game, so we'll just call it a pick'em game. Pivetta, Heaney, any interest here in Nick Pivetta?
I don't think so. I mean, 8.9K is too much going up against the Yankees playing over in New York. I mean, they've always got a ton of power. One thing that Heaney struggled with is giving up a lot of hard contact, a lot of fly balls to righties. Still strikes out a decent amount of guys, but even with a strikeout upside, it's really not worth it going up against this Yankees team. I mean, he could end up getting away clean with home run to fly ball variants and BABIP, and ended up striking out a decent amount of guys because it's not a low strikeout lineup, but I just don't think it's worth the potential negative point outing. So I think I'm off of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple key pieces out here for the Yankees, obviously with Ursula Torres, Rizzo out, but I think overall this is still a good enough lineup. Pivetta has a decent strikeout rate and this team strikes out a lot, but I don't know if I could pull the trigger even on a 10 game slate. So the other side here, we got Heaney, you know, 30% K rate this season to righties. The problem is, Grant, when you're facing the Red Sox with left-handed pitching, they just don't strike out. They have high walk rates. They have low strikeout rates. I think this is a bad spot for Heaney too.
Yeah, I think it's a real bad spot for him. I have no interest in him at all. I think he might draw some ownership, as he always does. pretty much every time he's on the mound. And yes, he can get up over 100 pitches. He can strike out guys from both sides of the plate, but I just don't care. Like, I'm not using him today. Like, it's just the Red Sox are too good right now.
All right, let's talk bats. Let's start with the Red Sox here. High total in this game. Vegas is expecting a lot of runs. It opened at 10, like I said, and it's at 10.5 in some places. So it's moving in the direction of, you know, a lot of runs being scored. I mean, Kiki, Renfro, Bogarts, JD. I mean, this is a really strong lineup.
Yeah, no, I think the Red Sox may be my favorite stack on the entire slate. And he's been getting a little bit wild recently, which doesn't bode well for a very patient Red Sox lineup. Obviously, we know he gives up a ton of hard contact, ton of fly balls to pretty much both sides of the plate. All these guys can hit the ball hard. Like, this is just a perfect spot for them in a pretty decent ballpark. And yeah, I mean, Renfro, absolutely fantastic play. Kike, Bogarts, Devers, JD, Schwarber. I don't mind lefty-lefty going up against Heaney, because even though he doesn't give up as many fly balls, he still doesn't strike him out at the same clip. So I'll play pretty much anyone in this entire lineup. Whoever ends up in the starting lineup, I'm going to just hammer them into my lineups. Every single Red Sox player is in play 1 through 9.
As far as the Yankees go, Pivetta is a guy that does give up a lot of fly balls and hard contact. So, I mean, I think I'd target like Judge, Stanton, Gallo type hitters and just, you know, really attack like the high upside ceiling guys.
Yeah, no, I think that's the right move. Like I said, Pivetta gives up a whole lot of hard contact to righties and a decent amount to lefties. Fly balls, this is the exact kind of team that can really take advantage of that. I prefer low strikeout bats, but Rizzo's not in there, so I will take my chances on Judge, Gallo, and Stanton. But pretty much anyone with a lot of power, I'll throw Odor in, I'll throw Voit in, I'll throw Gary Sanchez in there. Any one of those guys, even though they may strike out a few times, they still have a chance to hit the ball of the yard.
All right, moving on, we got Atlanta at Miami. Morton against Lizardo. This game currently sitting at an 8 total. And Atlanta's a big favorite here, 195 favorite. Charlie Morton, you know, I loved Inno yesterday. He didn't pitch as well as I was kind of hoping, but he pitched well enough. I think Charlie Morton is one of, if not the best pitcher on the slate. Like, we can make the argument for Peralta and Lynn and maybe even Flaherty. I think this is a great spot for Charlie Morton going into Miami against this really bad Miami offense.
Yeah, no, I've been streaming pitchers too, and I played NO today, and it looked like he wasn't quite getting all the calls he should have. It was a little bit more wild than usual too, but still, like, Morton going up against Miami, he's been fantastic, averaging around 23 points, I think, over his last 9-10 starts. Like, just been very, very solid, and he may not go over 100 pitches, but it's generally because he's still going 6 innings, like, getting it pretty clean, and going up against Miami, team that strikes out a pretty decent clip, really doesn't work the count at all. Not really any great bats you really have to worry about outside of Aguilar. Like, I really like this spot for him. I really like him. And I don't know if he's going to draw enough ownership. I think a lot of people might go with Lynn or with Peralta or Flaherty. So I plan on hammering in a lot of Morton in my lineups today.
Yeah, it's really hard not to like him in this spot. Gets one of the biggest ballpark upgrades going into Miami. Lizardo on the other side, 6,100, he's kind of cheap here. It's just not a big K guy. This offense, not as good as it was earlier this season, but I still think overall this is not a spot that I want to take shots on Lizardo.
Yeah, it just hasn't really been great. I mean, he just got absolutely clobbered the beginning of the last game and still ended up doing all right, but not well by any means. Decent K rate guy, but he's going up against a tough Atlanta team here. I don't think I'm going to be using him today.
All right, let's talk Atlanta bats. I mean, I know Soler has not been great, but he's still been very good against lefties, should bat towards the top of the order. Riley, Albies, Duvall, I mean, plenty of bats here to, you know, potentially stack Atlanta. It's just the ballpark.
Yeah, the ballpark's really what gets me away, and I don't mind using Duvall or Soler as a one-off or two guys there, maybe making into a mini-stack with Freeman or Albies or Riley or Swanson. But Duvall and Soler are the ones that are cheap. They're both sitting at 3.8K. They both have a ton of pop. I mean, Duvall's hit home runs in this ballpark many times before earlier this year. So I think those would be the main two guys to go with. Both have the platoon split, both underpriced, both big fly ball hitters. And Lizardo, he's a guy that Like, he can strike out some guys, but righties, he's giving up a 47% hard contact rate and a 45% fly ball rate. Even though the ballpark is going to mess with that, the righties definitely can take it out of the ballpark here, but the price tags are just a little bit too high for me for a few of these guys, considering the ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, the ballpark scares me, but I still think the power is worth looking at. As far as Miami goes, I mean, I don't have a ton of interest in Miami. It's the same thing I said yesterday. Jesus Aguilar is really the only power bat in this lineup, and I mean, I'm not playing him.
Yeah, no, I'm just kind of out on everyone, although I don't mind that price tag as a one-off.
All right, we got Baltimore going into Tampa here. Game's currently at an 8 total. Tampa's a massive 335 favorite in this one. Watkins is going to open or start for Baltimore. I mean, don't expect him to go too deep in this game, maybe 90. And then Head's going to open for Tampa. And then Yarbrough, who is coming back from COVID, is going to pitch in long relief. Do you have any interest in either one of these pitchers or any of these three pitchers? Yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah, I just, no. Yarbrough, every time he's worked as like a long reliever this season, I think he's been under like 80 pitches. So when he's not starting,
he's gotten destroyed by Baltimore the last two times out.
Yeah, when he's not starting, I just don't have any interest in him. So, all right, let's talk bats here. Any interest in the Baltimore bats?
Not really. Like, even though Yarbrough has been hit up pretty decently by them the last few outings, they're not playing over in Baltimore, so it's definitely a downgrade. The price tags on these guys are fine. They're pretty much where they've been at all season long. I just don't know if I really have any interest in anyone. I mean, maybe Hayes is a one-off. He'll have the platoon split once Head gets out of the game, and he's only sitting at 2.8K, has pretty solid numbers going up against lefties, so he'd be the one bat I would really think about over on Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, Mancini is banged up. He might not even be in the lineup, and like, he'd probably be my favorite. But yeah, I don't mind Hayes, like you said. Does have the platoon, and he's like 2.8K. On the Tampa side of things, I mean, when we're looking at Watkins' numbers on the season, he's been really bad against righties. I know they're going to throw a lot of lefties at him here, but I mean, these righties might be even sneaky in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how late he'll end up going to the game, but he's just bad overall. Like, his numbers against lefties haven't been terrible. That's mostly because he's not giving up a lot of fly balls, and he's kind of gotten lucky. Really, he's worse than the actual numbers he's given up to lefties. Like, he's sitting at 302 WOBA and a 125 ISO, and that really doesn't match the rest of his numbers, his hard contact rate, his line drive rate, K rate, walk rate. So I don't mind targeting either, but I think the clear and obvious play is going to be Nelson Cruz at 5.3K. Dude just mashes, and going up against Watkins, it's bad versus righties. But I don't mind throwing Franco in there. I don't mind throwing Meadows in there, Lau. It's just, like, they have a 5.9 total. The Baltimore bullpen is not good behind him. Watkins is not good. It's just going to be bad pitching all around. So I'm fully in for a Tampa Bay stack, but my favorite bat is going to be Nelly.
All right, moving on. We got the Angels and the Tigers in this one. This game currently sitting at an 8.5 total. Angels are 140 favorite. Otani and Scoble. Any interest here in Otani?
Yeah, I think you have to consider him at 8.6K. I mean, you know, he always has that strikeout upside. Like, this is a high strikeout team. Currently the projected lineup sitting at 25%. So a pretty solid overall spot. He strikes out righties more than lefties. And we'll wait and see what the lineup is, but they should have about 5 righties in the lineup. Who knows what they'll end up throwing out there. But Otani just obviously gives you a bit of upside. He's a little bit cheaper than the other guys. There's not really a ton of great pitchers on the slate. And I think Otani's one of the 5 or 6 pitchers that I would consider using.
Yeah. I think the upside is really high with the bottom of this order. You got Nunez, Castro, Reyes. These guys strike out at such high clips. So I think this is a great spot for Otani ceiling-wise. Scoble on the other side, I mean, going to face a lot of righties. Concerning enough. Pitch count, pitch innings concerning. I mean, the price is nice at 7,400, but what do we take shots on him here?
I mean, I kind of want to. I mean, yeah, I was worried about how he's going to go into the game, but he's gotten over five innings in each of the last five outings. The strikeout rate has been down recently, and maybe, like, I can't seem to figure out why. He went on that tear where he was just striking out everyone, had a huge swinging strike rate. And then over the last five games, he's only had over four strikeouts one time. Big thing we worry about with Skubal is going to be home runs, and obviously Ohtani, a bit of a worry, but that's a lefty-lefty spot there. He's given up a ton of barrels to righties. And looking at the rest of the lineup, I mean, Upton, who else is going to hit the ball at the ballpark? Maybe Mayfield? Like, there's just not a ton of power in this lineup, which is the biggest concern for Skubal. So I think – I don't know if I'll end up with him, but he's definitely on the edge of being a decent play on this slate.
Yeah, he's so close. I mean, the fact that you can't play like Ohtani as a hitter here, I mean, maybe you take one-off shots on like Justin Upton, but overall, I mean, this lineup, they don't walk a lot. They don't strike out a lot. They're going to make a lot of contact, but they don't have a ton of power. So, I mean, Justin Upton as a one-off, but I just don't. Maybe Stassi. Maybe I should be looking at Stassi too.
Yeah, Stassi's in the lineup there. I don't hate it, but really it's just Upton for me. Like, this is not a stackable spot. And I generally like to target righties who can hit the ball at the ballpark. Again, the only two guys that could do that are probably Stassi and Upton.
Yep. And I mean, on the Detroit side of things, I got nothing.
Yeah, I'm just out on them.
I got nothing. We're moving on. We got the Brewers and the Cardinals, seven total. Brewers a slight favorite here, very slight. It's Peralta, it's Flaherty. Let's talk Peralta first. What are your thoughts here on Peralta?
I mean, always in play for tournaments, one of the better spend-ups on the entire slate, potentially the best raw points option. Strikes out 35% of hitters. Like, this isn't a terribly high strikeout lineup, but doesn't really matter for Peralta. He can go out and just hammer any lineup in this. I mean, the biggest problem with him is walks, and this really isn't a terribly patient lineup here. I mean, there's not a single guy over a 10% walk rate, and they have an average 7.5% walk rate here. So I'm really not worried about that, and the strikeout upside is definitely there in any matchup with him. So he's right up there with Morton and Lynn, and I'd probably put him right after Morton above Lynn.
Yeah, I mean – I worry a little bit. Burns, I think, what, he only had like three strikeouts or something like that. And he's a big-time strikeout guy. The lineup, like you said, they don't strike out a ton. And, like, you're really needing ceiling from Peralta. I mean, I played Burns. I'll probably play Peralta. I think the matchup overall is solid. This dude has a 40% K rate against righties this season. There's a lot of righties in this lineup. Flaherty on the other side. I mean, this is another good strikeout guy against a lineup that is very hit or miss. He's 9.1K, I think, in tournaments. You have to look at him, too.
Yeah, I expect a lot more ownership to go over towards Peralta and Morton. Not really a ton in his price range that really stand out outside of those guys and maybe Ohtani. I think people will just try and pay up for Morton or go to Ohtani. While I don't prefer him on raw points, I do expect him to have less ownership. I mean, this is kind of an average strikeout lineup, average walk lineup. He hasn't been fantastic this season, but it's a decent ballpark. So I still think I prefer Morton and Ohtani, but if they're going to be very highly owned, which is a distinct possibility in the slate, then I think the pivot over to Flaherty is a great idea. He got up to 81 pitches in his last outing, and so I'm not going to be surprised if they let him get up to 90, 95 here.
Yeah, just overall, I think – both the pitchers have upside and ceiling, and, like, I don't love either of the lineups.
Yeah, I'm out on all bats in this game.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Seattle at Texas. We'll like some bats in this one, probably. Nine total. Seattle's a 170 favorite here. We got Gonzalez against Foltynewicz. Any interest here in Marco Gonzalez?
I think so.
It's really hard not to, like, have interest against Texas right now.
Yeah, I mean, Gonzalez just hasn't been great this season, and the 7.6K price tag is not justified with his numbers, but he'll go over 100 pitches. Like, Texas is terrible. He just shut, or, you know, I think, gave up one run this team had a two hitter in the last outing. Like, he's faced Texas twice in the last 2 weeks and 16 and 41 points. Like, I really just don't care how mediocre he is. I am going to use quite a bit of him, I think, on this slate. Like, he's my clear top mid-range option on the slate, which is what he was last time and worked out great. And this line's just so bad, I just really don't care.
Yeah, I mean, look at the lineup. It's just, it is bad. A lot of strikeouts in the middle of this lineup. I think he's okay. I think you can play really anybody against Texas at this point. Foltynewicz on the other side. I mean, Folty, we think back a few years and like he had some really good strikeout stuff, and it's gone. 16% K rate on the season. I think Seattle's good enough that I don't want to play Foltynewicz here. Not saying Seattle's good. I think they're good enough.
Yeah, I'm out on Folty. He's not great. Saying over a 5x FIP, under a 17% K rate, gives up a lot of power. Like, I just know.
All right. Seattle Bats. I mean, Henniger, Seager, if you want to do a three-man, you can throw in like Toro or France there.
Oh, I'll full stack him. I will absolutely full stack him. I mean, so Folty is not great, but what he does give up is a lot of power. I mean, Fraley's hit the ball fairly well this season, has come back down a little earth after just absolutely mashing at the beginning. But Kelenic, he can hit the ball hard. I know he hasn't paid off terribly. Toro's been pretty good since coming over here. France, I really like in this spot. But even Crawford's not horrible. I mean, Fulty's just bad, and he doesn't strike guys out. The ball's going to be put in play quite a bit. I really like Seattle as a stack today.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't talk you off of it, that's for sure. Any interest in the Texas bats here?
No. Like, if you want to do a vomit stack, that's fine. Like, they're cheap. If you want a double-barrel pitcher, like, just throw a few of them in there. Like, Adolis Garcia is probably the one guy that actually stands out as a decent play, saying at 3.4K, but like, you can throw Peters in there, super cheap. You can throw Banez in there, super cheap. You can throw Lau in there, pretty cheap, or Lowe in there, I mean, pretty cheap. Like, it's not the worst idea in the world, just because Marco Gonzalez is probably going to be pretty chalky, and you get some leverage off of that ownership.
Yeah, I think Garcia and Peters make a ton of sense. Peters at 2.2K opens up so much. And Garcia's cheap as well. So definitely don't mind taking shots on either one of those guys. All right, we got Oakland at Chicago taking on the White Sox here. Cole Irvin, Lance Lynn. Game's currently at a 9 total, and the White Sox are a 190 favorite here. Any interest in Cole Irvin?
Not really. Low strikeout guy. White Sox are good. That's pretty much all you need now.
Yeah, I mean, I was super high on Oakland in general to beat Chicago yesterday. And, I mean, Bassett, I hope he's okay. That's for sure.
Yeah,
Cole Irvin, low strikeout guy. Price tag at 8.4K. Really not a guy that I want to play here. Lance Lynn on the other side of this game. I worry about the low strikeout rates for Oakland and Lance Lynn being 10K. I mean, what are your thoughts on him here?
I mean, I don't think I prefer Morton and I prefer Peralta. If the ownership's going to be drastically different, I don't mind going with Lynn. I mean, he'll go up over 100 pitches. Guy's got a solid K rate. Like, this is a tough lineup here, which is really what worries me. But if the ownership disparity is going to be pretty drastic between him, Peralta, and Morton, then I think there is, in GPPs, pretty good reason to switch over to Lynn. I mean, they have a 3.8 implied team total. That's pretty much the same as the Cardinals and a bit more than Miami. And like, yes, he doesn't have the same K rate as Peralta, but he's not nearly as wild. He can absolutely outscore Peralta in this spot. So I don't hate it if, as a tournament pivot, if he is going to be very low owned.
All right. Any Oakland bats that you like here?
Not really. Lynn's just solid. I mean, Matt Olson is a one-off. but that price tag makes it a little bit tough. Lynn struggled a little bit more versus lefties than righties, but it's not bad to either side of the plate.
Yeah, Olsen's just so expensive. On the White Sox side of things, they're a stack that I definitely don't mind here. Cole Irvin, not a big strikeout guy, gives up a lot of hard contact, plenty of power in this lineup, especially on the right side. I think this is a team we can look at stacking.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely target the righties, even though they are expensive. Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu, Eloy, all very solid plays here. And if you want to make the stack a full stack and you want to go a little bit cheaper, going to the bottom of the lineup, it's not the worst idea in the world. But yeah, Irvin's just like, I don't know why he's 8.4K. Like, he's really not great. And he's due for some negative regression.
All right. Houston at Kansas City. 9 total in this game. Already up to 9.5 in a lot of books. 170 favorite for Houston. Greinke and Singer. Any interest here in Zach Greinke?
No, I don't know if I played him all season. I don't know if I'm going to start here. Yes, he just had a solid outing going up against the Angels, but overall just been mediocre. 8.1K. It's not a terrible price tag for him, but it's not great. This is a high strikeout lineup, but he's not really a high strikeout pitcher anymore. So I think I'm out on Greinke.
I think he's finally at that price that if you want to play him, you can. He's not like that 95 to 10K price range. I think if you want to play him at 8,100, you can. I'm not saying that I love it, but I think this is the price tag that if you wanted to play Greinke, I don't hate the idea of like taking shots on him, especially like against Kansas City. This lineup, very bad. Up top to bottom, really bad. Perez, Merrifield, Santana, decent hitters. But, I mean, Whit Merrifield has a under 100 ISO against right-handed pitching this season. So, I definitely could see the point. And then Singer on the other side. I mean, Houston's dealing with a lot of injuries right now with Tucker out, Bregman out, Alvarez banged up. But I still don't see myself using Singer here.
Yeah, no, just – I mean, below average pitcher with slightly above average strikeout stuff. This is still, even without those guys, a pretty low strikeout lineup sitting around 21%, the projected one. I mean, the bottom of the lineup has some strikeouts, but that's pretty much it. So I'm not going to be using Singer here.
All right, so let's talk bats. Let's stand it out here for you, Houston. Alvarez was sickness, so it's not like he's hurt. We'll just have to see if he's in the lineup or not.
Yeah, if he's in the lineup, I definitely like him. I'd probably be targeting the fly ball guys, so him, Correa, Altuve. I mean, I never mind playing Brantley. He's only 3.9K, as always. Outside of that, I mean, there's not a ton to love here. You don't get a huge amount of upside, but if you want to throw any of the guys in at the bottom of the lineup for a cheap stack or a round wraparound stack, it's not the worst idea in the world, but definitely prefer the 1 through 4 hitters here.
The Kansas City side, I mean, I'm not paying 5,100 for Perez.
Yeah, so, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Greinke is giving up solid hard contact, decent power to righties. So, I mean, Dozier. The problem is this is just a bad lineup. So, and he doesn't give up a ton of power to lefties. So I'm not probably playing O'Hearn. I'm probably not playing Benintendi. I'm not paying up for Witt or Perez. Like, probably not playing Santana, although I don't hate it at 3.3K. But yeah, this is just not a great lineup right now. So, yeah, I could see. Why the price tag makes you think Greinke's in play.
All right, we got Philly at Arizona. 8.5 total. Philadelphia is a 125 favorite. Suarez against Bumgarner. Any interest here in Ranger Suarez?
He's cheap. Arizona's not really great. Like, I know some of the guys have had decent numbers versus lefties so far this season, but overall just not a very good lineup. Suarez is above average strikeout pitcher, gets a decent amount of ground balls, got up to 82 pitches in his last outing. So, yeah, I think you kind of have to consider him on this slate if you're going to be paying down at pitching, which if you want to pay up for some bats, definitely need to do. So, yeah, I've got some interest in Suarez.
Yeah, I want to dig into his numbers a little bit more in that Dodgers start because his strikeout numbers are decent because he's usually a guy that throws like an inning. And the fact that they're trying to stretch him out a little bit and giving him a leash, I mean, I want to look into his numbers a little bit, but I mean, it's not like the Arizona lineup is a great lineup, but I mean, they have enough good right-handed bats with like Kelly and Marte and Ahmed Cabrera that I definitely want to look into this spot more. But I mean, like you said, he's 5,700. If you're trying to stack a top end team or something, you know, he's certainly someone you're going to be potentially looking at here. Any interest here in Madison Bumgarner on the other side?
No, I just, again, another guy I haven't played all season because he's always just a little bit too expensive for how mediocre that he is. And sitting around a 20% K rate, near 5x FIP. Like the lefties in this lineup really aren't huge or really aren't bad bats, which is the only thing he's kind of decent at or against now. So no interest in Bumgarner.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at his stats over the last 30 days, his fantasy numbers haven't been bad, but the XFIP and Sierra tell us differently. The strikeout rate is even lower. So I think he's been running a little pure here recently. I think this is a bad spot for him. I actually really like Philly in this game. I hope Philly goes kind of overlooked here. I know Hoskins on the IL, but I mean, Real Muto, Harper, even in a lefty-lefty, I love McCutcheon under 4K here. What are your thoughts when it comes to Philly?
Yeah, McCutcheon is a great play at under 4K. I mean, he's sitting at 363 ISO, 450 WOBA. Like, he's a fantastic play here. Harper, I'll play in any matchup, really. So he's definitely in play. And Segura and Real Muto both have some pop. Both got the platoon split. Bumgarner gives up a 40% hard contact rate and 45% fly ball rate to righties. So I have no problem with anything. And even bomb at 4.1K. I'm kind of with you on the stack. I think they will get overlooked because they still have an under 5 implied total on a slate where we have about 6 different teams with over a 5 implied total. So, yeah, I think this is going to be one of the sneakier stacks on the slate.
Any interest in the Arizona bets?
Marte, that's really probably it.
He's not priced bad as like if you're wanting to play him as a one-off either.
Yeah, no, but he's a solid price tag for a one-off.
All right, we finish it out with Pittsburgh, Adelaide taking on the Dodgers. JT Brubaker against Mitch White. This game at an 8.5 total, and the Dodgers are a minus 300 favorite. No respect for JT Brubaker whatsoever. Any interest in JT Brubaker?
No, I don't play pitchers against the Dodgers.
And then Mitch White on the other side of this game, 6K going up against this weak offense. I don't expect him to throw over like 70 pitches. So, I mean, I don't think you can play him on this slate.
Yeah, I found I just won $800 on Major League Soccer that I don't know anything about. Thank you, odds boost. Yeah, Mitch White's not going to go late enough into the game. Maybe a solid overall pitcher. Not a horrible price tag, but I just don't think he's going to go late enough into the game.
I mean, you can easily play anybody against Pittsburgh, but I don't think this is the spot. Do you have any interest in the Pittsburgh bats?
No, I mean, it's going to be Mitch White for a few innings and then decent bullpen behind him, so no.
Reynolds is 3.5K. I don't mind him, but outside of that, I'm going to pass. The Dodgers, they did not get the job done on Tuesday. I'm going back to the well here and hoping they can bounce back and be that late night hammer that I wanted on Monday.
There's still a chance. They got 4 runs now. You're saying no.
I know, but it was like Beatty or somebody. Somebody I didn't play.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, that doesn't count.
I'll play some Dodgers. I mean, Brubaker is giving up a lot of hard contact to both sides of the plate. He can absolutely get the ball taken out of the ballpark, and this lineup's just absolutely stacked. We'll see who's in it tomorrow. I know some guys got the day off today, but almost every single day, stack up the Dodgers. And a lot of people don't end up playing them because lineup obviously comes out late and you have to do some changes. But if you stack them up with any of the other later games, it's really not hard to do.
All right, we're going to play the morning grind game, and then we're going to get out of here. Give me a guy under 8K to get 6 or more strikeouts today.
Marco Gonzalez.
All right. I don't think any of these guys get there. I mean, give me Tarik Skobel, I guess. Over 8K to go under 15. Who's your bust today?
Pavetta.
I'm going to go Cole Irvin.
Yeah.
Over 4K to hit a home run. Who do you get?
Nelson Cruz.
I like that one. I'm going to go Kyle Seager.
I like that one.
Under 4K to get two hits.
JP Crawford.
I like it. McCutcheon was under 4K, wasn't he?
Yep, 3.8.
There you go. I like McCutcheon a lot. Give me a stack to score six or more runs today.
Go the Mariners.
All right, Seattle. I like it against Foltynewicz. I don't know how I'm going to build the stack yet, but I really like Tampa. I'm going to have to wait and see what the lineup looks like, but I think this is a really good spot for Tampa. So I'm going to go Tampa.
Yeah. Watkins is terrible.
All right, Grant, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I need to go to bed and just dream my beautiful soccer winnings.
Coming from the dude that's on the west side of the United States and it's not even late yet. I'm going to go to bed too because it's almost 1 a.m. So I'm going to get some rest. I hope everyone has an awesome Wednesday. We'll be back Thursday talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.
Hey, kids.